Good evening, councillors, staff, ladies and gentlemen. We wish to acknowledge traditional custodians of the land that we are meeting on, the Yuwit people. We would like to pay respect to the elders of the Noongar Nation, past and present, who have walked and cared for the land. We acknowledge and respect their continuing culture and the contributions made to this region. I declare the meeting open at close enough to 7 o'clock. Item 2, record of attendance. Apologies, approved leave of absence and announcements. Attendances. We have the attendance list here. There's no apologies. And there's no... Are there any... there's no approved leave of absence. Announcements. Councillors, are there any further items to add to the list of attendances for the last month?
Mr. President, yeah, I've got a meeting at the Bindoon Historical Society.
So that was last month?
On Tuesday, what date was it? 14th.
14th of June? Are there any other additions to the list? Item 3, disclosures of interest. Councillors, are there any disclosures of interest for the matters before council tonight? If there are no disclosures of interest, I'll move on to item 4, public question time. Response to previous public questions taken on notice, there are nil. Public question time, we have some public questions. I'll read these out. PQT01 0622 from Marnie Giroud, didn't say that right, Mouchet. Question 1. In the executive summary of the Shire of Tooting's local biodiversity strategy adopted 21 April 2010, Goal 1 states retention of natural areas retain all existing natural areas unless an existing approval for development has been granted. Where retention is not possible, seek opportunities for offsets. A specific target is for Goal 1, is to retain at least 20,000 hectares of the Shire's remaining 22,421 hectares of local natural areas. The aim is to retain 30% of each representative vegetation complex where possible. Question is, why has a specific target for goal one is to retain at 20,000 hectares of the Shire's remaining 22,421 hectares of local natural areas being removed from goal one of the updated strategy? The response is, this specific figure is difficult to assess as a measure given a number of independent variables that affect the count, such as illegal clearing and bushfires. It is statutorily inconsistent and difficult to uphold if a development were to tip the scale, and it should not be a goal that promotes or allows for removal of vegetation until a finite figure. Rather, that the overall retention as best as possible should be the goal. This latter point has already been incorporated into the local planning strategy 2019, which promotes development in areas only where biodiversity values are unharmed and or where bushfire linkages are critical. Regardless, staff in conjunction with Chittering Landcare Group will work towards developing and monitoring systems to ensure knowledge of biodiversity quality is maintained consistently as best as possible. Question 2. Please refer to the executive summary of the Shire Chittering's local biodiversity strategy adopted 21 April 2020, Goal 3, management of natural areas stated as one of its directives. That being, agreed management plans for all new natural areas protected as a condition of new subdivision and other development. The updated plan does not include this previous requirement for agreed management plans as a condition of new developments. Why is this important requirement of a new development omitted in the new plan? The response, in short, the West Australian Planning Commission Commission already has a requirement for such relevant developments per their model subdivisions condition schedule June 2021 and as such is subject to the decision of a separate body, the Department of Planning, Lands and Heritage. Thus, it hasn't been removed from statutory obligations, rather enshrined in more obligatory means. Rather, in this instance, its omission helps to clarify the goal as a non-statutory guide, and more specifically about the on-ground management of all protected areas. So there's two questions. Next set of questions from Dion Riddle. Question one, in the executive summary of the Shire of Chittering's local biodiversity strategy adopted 21 April 2010, the vision states, in 2050, the Shire of Chittering will have retained at least 20,000 hectares of its remaining 22,421 hectares of local natural areas and formally protected at least 6,328 hectares within these areas. Where the conservation targets outlined in the original plan, now 12 years old, assessed by conservation targets outlined in the original plan assessed by staff and council? The response is, as the Shire does not have the technical expertise in-house, data presented to the Shire from the botanist engaged to do the survey work, Mr. Stephen Connell, subsequent to the proposed updated strategy, suggests that a significant majority has been retained. Question two. How much of the minimum 20,000 hectare conservation target has been retained in the 12 years since the plan was adopted? The response is we're unable to quantify the number due to lack of precise data available. Thank you. Are there any public questions from the gallery? John Nagle.
John Nagle, 153 Stevens Road. My question relates to, I believe the Shire's got a forum coming up in July, is that correct?
Yes.
So when's that going to be advertised? You got a month to get out there. That come up at the electors meeting that there's 38 groups in town. Maybe if you sent the newsletters and that out to them, you might get a better response.
Yep, so we just started advertising and I think it'll be in the Northern Valley News this month.
Yeah, okay. So all the councils are turning up to that? What's a forum? What's it about?
It's a community forum. So we're doing them in all the localities like we were doing pre-COVID. So this community forum from 6 o'clock, there'll be a sausage sizzle and there'll just be a general meeting greet with councillors. And then there'll be presentations on roles and responsibilities, the budget and the strategic community plan, how that's linked together, and the transparency project that council's been undertaking.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Are there any further questions? Are there any further questions from the item 5?
Okay, South Midlands Policross Club would like to respond and comment to the officer recommendations on tonight's agenda item, South Midlands Policross Club licence. We support the removal of items 7.1 and 7.2b in the outgoings schedule. South Midlands Policross Club is in agreement of the Shire of Chittering receiving the higher income from Sandown Park if the Shire is going to pay the power costs and ATU servicing costs at the facility. Further clarification is required on who is responsible to replace kitchen items if they are damaged or need replacement due to wear and tear. Currently, the kitchen appliances and fixtures in place have been purchased by either Policross or Pony Club. Whilst we are willing to hire these items, assurance is needed for replacement if damaged. We also support the addition of the outgoing schedule at point 7.8 that South Midlands Policross can provide the Shire of Chittering with pre-approved casual or annual hire groups. Thus, South Midlands Policross will have the ability to approve or deny all proposed hirers dependent on identifying the potential damage to the grounds and recovery costs and timeframes. As Policross representatives discussed with Council at the meeting on 8th of June 2022, any group wishing to hire Sandown Park require to be approved or denied by South Midlands Policross Club depending on the costs and time involved with repairing any damage that could be caused. If South Midlands Policross Club are expected to continue the level of maintenance and volunteer hours they currently put into Sandown Park. This will involve a Policross representative communicating with the proposed hirer to determine the level of wear and tear on the fields. We would propose the Shire charge and hold a bond for certain hirers of the facility in case major repair slash restoration work is required. We request this be incorporated into the approval process. Thanks for your time.
Item 6. Applications for leave of absence. Councillors, are there any applications for leave? There are nil. Item 7, confirmation of minutes of the Ordinary Council meeting 18th of May 2022. Councillors, may I have a mover for the recommendation? Councillor Campbell. Councillor Angus. Councillors, anyone speaking against the motion? If no one's speaking against the officer's recommendation, I'll declare it carried, 7-0. Item 8, announcement from the presiding member, there are nil. Item 9, reports, development services. DS-01, update to the Shire of Chittering local diversity strategy. Council, you have an officer's recommendation that Council adopts the updated local biodiversity strategy. Can I have a mover and a seconder for that, please? Councillor Hughes is the mover. Just 1 minute. Why can't I find any names today? And Councillor Ross is the seconder. Thank you very much. Councillor Hughes.
I'm very happy to raise this motion as that was 2 years overdue to be reviewed. So I'm very pleased to see that that's been done now, because we do need to be having our strategic plans updated, especially in regards to something that has a potential to have such a long-term effects if new information isn't known. I sit on the Land Care Committee, and they have overlooked this, and they're very happy with these changes. So happy to support that motion.
Councillor Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. I also think this is a very good step forward. We live in a Shire where we have spectacular countryside everywhere, waterways, landscapes, and it's desperately in need of careful conservation management. So to have an updated plan strategy is really important, because it's also why people live here. And it's, I think, a handy coincidence that our community strategic plan is on our agenda this evening too, because care of the land and the water and et cetera of the environment is one of our priorities in that plan. So it's just handy timing that both are coming before us at once. So I think this is a very good development.
Thank you, Councillor Ross. Councillors, any further discussion? There's no further discussion. I'd like to say that it's a very comprehensive document. It's been well crafted. It's had contributions from Landcare and others. So it sets a benchmark going forward for biodiversity management in the Shire. So thank you for all those that contributed to the development. It's not, it's still not an easy read, but it's an easier read than what it was prior to this working. So thank you for all the effort.
Well, can I just make a quick comment?
You may.
I think the last meeting I raised the issue that this was not going to put any barriers in terms of burning off for bushfire prevention. That was assured that was going to be the case. So that's the only comment I have with this particular one.
Thank you, Councillor Dewar. Councillors, any other discussion? Councillor Hughes, you have a right of reply. Okay, with no right of reply required, I'll put the officer's recommendation to the vote. All those in favour to adopt the local biodiversity strategy? Carried 7-0. DSO2, 0621, statistical analysis of bushfire compliance 2021 to the 2022 season. Councillors, you have an officer's recommendation to receive the information and to acknowledge the efforts and support the efforts of the Shire staff. So may I have a mover for this recommendation, please? Councillor Ross, thank you. Seconder, yes. Councillor Campbell. Councillor Ross.
Thanks, Mr. President. 2 points, really. It's very important for us as councillors that we see these stats and, of course, that they're accessible to the community as well. So it's, I am grateful that we've received the information. Also, that we do need to commend all of those who are involved in the achievement that these stats show, because the table on page 17 makes it clear how much improvement has been occurring in the management of, I suppose, fire prevention management across the Shire. And we have invested heavily in it, personnel and strategies and whatever else. And again, without meaning to join too many dots, if we're on about care of our environment, then we have to be on about how we manage the prevention of bushfires. So it's very useful to have the data.
Councillor Ross, thank you. Councillor Campbell.
I suppose my comment or statement is this year we've carried out more inspections by the three FCOs and showing that there's a lot more residents engaged that were taking care of their property with a lot less work orders and infringements. People are taking their safety serious when it comes to bushfires. So I support the document.
Thank you, Councillor Campbell. Councillors, Earls? Remaining? Any further? Okay. I'd like to add an advice note, if I may. I guess my advice, we'll have to reword this advice note, it's a bit rough at the moment. The advice note would read somewhere along the lines of where they consider developing statistics to reflect pre-sale inspections and asset protection zones, separate them out as a part of other than fire breaks. So someone help me with my wording here. Because I think the statistics are good, but I'd like to see them for broken up into asset protection zones, pre-sale inspections versus fire break inspections, if you like. So the non-compliant side of it, so no one's coming to my rescue. The advice note. Let me think this again. I did. So perhaps next year's statistics. Okay. Who prepares this?
We can only instruct the CEO.
Okay. Okay. Advice that is that next year statistics consider separating out asset protection zones from pre-sale inspections and fire breaks inspections. that makes any sense. So that would be the advice note, because I think it's quite valuable information that we've seen that the pre-sale inspections has been a heavy burden this year, and then the asset protection's been brought in. So it would be useful to see the breakup of those statistics. Well, this deals with, this doesn't deal with complaints.
Sorry, does that become an amendment?
I was just going to ask that.
Yeah, the only real way is to do it as an amendment, and so you'd have number four in the amendment would be that council, so instruct the CEO to include in next year's statistics.
Okay. Separating out.
Remove the word consider.
Yeah. Consider.
The separation of, rather than separating out.
The separation, yeah. All of that. Assets. Asset zone protection. From pre-sale inspections and fiber. Yeah, that's better. Yep, I think that seems reasonable. So this is an amendment, so I'll have to mover and seconder. Obviously, I'm the mover. May I have a seconder for that amendment?
Second.
Councillor Campbell, 1 minute. So this amendment serves to just improve the level of statistics that we have going forward, so that we can see where the non-compliances are, whether they're in asset protection zones or whether they're in pre-sale inspections or whether it's in fire break. I think it's just the next level of statistical analysis that helps us understand which particular areas are having work orders issued. So that's it. Thank you. Councillor Campbell. Councils, any comment?
Councillor. Instruct CEO to include next year's statistics, the separation of asset protection zones. I'm not exactly clear what you want or what that means.
You want to explain asset protections?
So separate mine, from what? What are you separating it from? From the fire break, fire break inspections or what?
Yeah, so I guess and we need to develop a table, but pre-sale inspections occur year-round, with fire break inspections are only during the fire season. However, an asset protection zone is required year-round, so that's the 20 metres around your house, clearing that all, where fire breaks are only required during that fire break season. So there would be multiple properties that would have both required. I guess it's reporting on, is the breakdown in terms of people not doing their fire breaks, or is it people not doing their asset protection zones, or both?
Wouldn't if people aren't going to clear around their house, they wouldn't be bothered to do a fire break, would they? Surely. What would be the safer thing to do? Clear around your house, obviously.
But the asset protection zones is probably a newer thing, so many people were probably used to doing their fire breaks but not necessarily used to doing an asset protection zone.
How do you monitor this or follow it? Who checks all this out?
I guess the rangers, as they do their inspections, would be collecting exactly what they're writing the compliance up for. And it'll just be added in the statistics.
So they're driving around and they're seeing people scrubbing the rubbish around their houses and then recording that?
So we already do that. So all the inspections include that. So it's just a matter of marking it down on the bit of paper just to say this is specifically what it was for.
Okay. All right, Councillor Dewar. Any other further discussion? Don't think it requires a right of reply on my side. So if there's no further discussion, I'll put the amendment to the vote. All those in favour of the amendment? 7-0. All right, back to the substantive motion. I have nothing further to say on the substantive motion. Councillors, any discussion on the substantive motion? If there's no further discussion on the, Councillor Ross, you have right of reply on the substantive motion. Thank you. Nothing further. I will put the officer's recommendation to the vote. All those in favour? Carried, 7-0. Technical services, there are nil. Corporate services, list of accounts paid for the period ending 31st of May 2022. I have an officer's recommendation that we endorse the list of accounts. Can I have a mover for the officer's recommendation? Councillor Angus. Seconder? Councillor Campbell. Councillor Angus.
I don't have any queries. Thank you.
Councillor?
Nothing other.
Campbell? Councillors, any further? If there is no debate, I'll declare the officer's recommendation carried 7-0. CSO2 monthly financial report for the period ending 31st of May 2022. Councillors, you have an officer's recommendation to receive the monthly report for this period as per the attachment. Can I have a mover for the officer's recommendation? I'll move it. Seconder, please. Councillor Angus, thank you. I have nothing to say. Thank you. Councillor Angus.
Ditto.
Councillors?
Just a brief observation, Mr. President, that it's good to look at the fact that things are on track. We're sort of a month out now from the end of the financial year and it's kind of all looking satisfactory.
Thank you, Councillor Ross. Councillors, if there's no further discussion, I'll put the officer's recommendation to the vote. All those in favour? 7-0, I think. That noise is in the background. Next item of business is Chief Executive Officer section, CEO01, Delegate Authority Register Review. Councillors, the officer's recommendation is to endorse the Delegated Authority Register as per the attachment. May I have a mover for the officer's recommendation? Councillor Ross. Seconder. Councillor Hughes, thank you. Councillor Ross.
Not a great deal to say, Mr. President, but this document is not exactly riveting reading. However, it's an essential legal document for the Shire and a key guiding document so that the CEO and all of the officers are very clear about the boundaries of their own professional authority and their role. So it's important that we do review it, and I'm satisfied with what it contains, that it all works towards the good governance of the Shire.
Thank you, Councillor Ross. Councillor Hughes.
Nothing much to add to that other than I think there's about 47 acts and various regulations that underpin that, so I think this is good to have it isolated out exactly what are all of our responsibilities in an easier to read format than looking through mountains and mountains of paperwork. Thank you.
Councillor Hughes, thank you very much. Councillors, any further discussion? No right reply? Yeah.
Just very briefly, I think as Councillor Hughes just mentioned, in fact, there are 12 pieces of legislation in there that are specifically where delegations are listed under them. And that's not everything. Like, just as a reminder of how much legislation everyone thinks of the Local Government Act, and of course that's the big one, but in fact there's a mountain of other legislation. So this really is a critical document.
Thank you, Councillor Ross. Councillors, if there's no further discussion, I'll put the officer's recommendation to the vote. All those in favour? Carried 7-0. CO02, 2022 to 2032, Strategic Community Plan. Councillors, you have an officer's recommendation to adopt the 22 to 32 Strategic Community Plan. May I have a mover for the officer's recommendation? Councillor Curtis. Seconder? Councillor Ross. Councillor Curtis.
Mr. President, I accept the officer's recommendation because it's the community's vision that we look after the natural environment, which we haven't been doing, by letting Chalice do what they want to do. And I think we should carry out what the community wants, and that's their vision in the strategic community plan, and which says standing number two, which limits the impact of mining on the Shire. So, I will accept this officer's recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor Curtis. Councillor Ross.
Thanks, Mr. President. I'd like to propose an amendment to add a clause 3, and our minute secretary has the details, and so do councillors. I suggest the third point would say authorise the updating of the population data on pages 4 to 5 of the plan to insert current data as soon as the 2021 ABS census data is available, likely to be June, July 2022. It's just, it's quite important because this document has a long lifespan, although it can be updated and amended in the future. In fact, we could be less than a fortnight away from the population data being available if the ABS honours its own dates. So it would be, I think it would be timely, it would be useful for us to authorise the CEO to make those amendments immediately as soon as that population data comes out so that the plan is reflecting accurate data. So I'd like to move that amendment.
So I just want a point of clarification. So this amendment, then this doesn't have to go back to council?
That's right.
Okay, so
it's
changing two pages of the document to replace the data in there now is the 2016 census, because that's still all that's available. The ABS website says that they are beginning to release the 2021 census on the 28th of June. Now, whether the stuff we need comes out that day, but it will come out soon. So my amendment is to authorise now that the CEO can take out the old data, put in the new data as soon as it becomes available without it having to come back to us. And it occurred to me, Mr. President, because it's a high-level document, as Councillor Curtis said, more of a visionary document, it won't change any of the rest of the report. It simply means that the context is described more accurately than it will be with 2016 data.
Thank you. All right. No, I understand. It's just that it doesn't expressly say in your amendment that it doesn't have to come back to council. That's all. That was my only... I know your intent, but it doesn't expressly say... For the avoidance of doubt, do you want to add something?
So, okay, so at the end of 2022, at the end of it now, put a comma without the plan returning to council for further endorsement.
That was my only.
Yep.
Okay, great. So who's the seconder for this? Councillor Angus, thank you very much. Councillor Ross, thank you.
I think I've already made my speech.
Yes, thank you. Councillor Angus.
And yes, I'd just like to add that I'd like to acknowledge the staff for the amount of work that they've put into developing this, with a limited amount of engagement from the community. I know that's something we still struggle with, and we're working towards getting better engagement. Hopefully now we're coming a little bit out the other side of COVID shutdowns, we'll have a little more get together with our community. And it is just a vision, so anything they tell us they're not happy with, we'll be able to look at next time further down the track. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Angus. Councillors, any discussion on the officer's recommendation? The amendment.
So Councillor Ross, you want more up-to-date population figures, is that what you said?
Yes, Councillor Dewitt. On those two pages at the moment, the data that's there is from the 2016 census. It is that, because that's all that's in the public domain. Okay. The ABS website says that the 2021 census data will begin to be released on the 28th of June. So it's really just giving that authorisation now to the CEO that as soon as the data we're after is publicly available, we just update those two pages so our context is accurate.
Is there going to be some big increase or decrease for us to be stand back and watch? Or?
I think we would expect that our population has continued to increase. I would expect we will go much closer to 6,000 this time.
I think the thing to look out for is not just population but demographic changes, and I have a feeling that the census was taken just a little bit too early, but there is the potential that there are demographic shifts that may not change the overall intent of the vision, but, yeah, may, depending on how big it is, may be something to think about.
Yeah, I mean, information is good, but sometimes you can get bogged down in small pieces of information.
It'd depend on the size of the change. If it's, I think it's probably expected that the population will increase, and I don't think that would be a surprise, but it'll be if demographics change that.
Thank you.
Councillor Dewey, anyone else speak to the amendment?
No.
All right. Councillors, there's no further discussion on the amendment. I'll put the amendment as on the screen to the vote. Can I have a vote? Those for the amendment? Carried 7-0. Councillor Ross, that was your amendment. Do you have any further amendments?
No, all done.
Council, any further discussion on the substantive motion? Councillor Hughes, thank you.
I'd just like to acknowledge the point too there. Whilst we do in the past, and as has been the case this time, do some consultation with the community in the revision of the strategic community plan, I think that going back to the community with the updated plan to explain how that links in with some of the other ones reinforces that we are taking that feedback from the community into consideration, and it demonstrates, you know, what benefit their engagement has provided in those informing those other plans as well. Thank you.
Thank you, councillors. All right, I'll say something. Look, I think the plan, what gives me comfort in the plan is that the common themes from previous plans still translate through to this plan. So there's no major deviation to the vision of what the community are looking for. So there's a lot of consistency. The language is, sometimes it changes a little bit, but the rural amenity keeping, flows through the vision that we're seeing from previous plans. So we're not seeing wholesale changes in vision of what people want from the community, which I think is reassuring, and that means council can plan better for the future to provide services that reflect, you know, the community's vision and needs. All right, with that said, I'll put the substantive motion. Sorry.
There's just a minor typo in the amendment, just in the last line where it says without the plan of returning, just take out of. Okay. Sorry, Mr. President.
That's fine, we'll fix that. All right, there's no right reply, and we've got that right. I'll put the substantive motion to the vote. All those in favour? Carried 7-0, thank you. CEO 03, Bindoon and Districts Agricultural Society licence agreement. Council, you have a recommendation in front of you to this regard. May I have a mover of the officer's recommendation? I'll move. May I have a seconder? Councillor Ross. As the mover, I'll talk to this quickly. The setting of the setting of the licence fee is consistent with previous licence fees. Includes the utility charges and the, I think it was $372, if I stand correct. I've got to find my... 50 cents. Yeah.
Oh, that's correct.
Yep. So I think, look, it's consistent. So that's all I'll say on that. Thank you. So, Councillor Ross.
Thanks, Mr. President. It's pleasing to have these licence agreements coming to Council now because we did the review of our asset management a few years back and step by step we've needed to kind of review every agreement that's in place for groups who are caring for Shire assets in one way or another, and always our responsibility is to balance the interests of the Shire, protecting its assets, but also harnessing the voluntary engagement of community groups who are generous enough to invest time and sometimes money as well in looking after the assets. So I'm pleased that we've reached the point where there is a recommendation to come to us for this licence, so I'm very happy to support it.
Thank you, Councillor Ross. Councillors, any further discussion? Councillor Hughes.
It's more or less a question, actually. I just wanted to verify if we're able to set a licence fee for 5 years when we review your fees and charges annually in the budget.
So, although you review your fees and charges in the budget, Council can set a fee within a lease or licence and sign that, and that, of course, is a separate legal document. So, you are able to do that.
Thank you.
Councillors, any further discussion?
Not really related, but I'm just glad to see the show's back up and running and hopefully everyone gets along there and supports it. After 2 years.
Thank you, Councillor Dewar. Councillor Curtis, Councillor Campbell, any discussion? All right. No right of reply required on this one. So, Councillors, no more discussion. I'll put the officer's recommendation to the vote. All those in favour? Carried 7-0. Thank you. CEO 04, South Midlands Polo Club licence. Councillors, you have an officer's recommendation. May I have a mover and a seconder? Councillor Hughes, mover. Seconder, Councillor Ross, thank you. Councillor Hughes.
Thank you, Councillor King. I'm very pleased to see that we've had some finalisation on an agreement on this because it has been a period of adjustment figuring out this lease, although it's our intention with the facilities review that we would hope that we can get some sort of consistency with the leases across all of our buildings and facilities. This one is quite a bit different in the aspects of the management of the facility, so I think that it's appropriate that we do take that into consideration for, know, good outcomes for all of the users and also for the surrounding community as well, which go down and use that frequently. So pleased to move this motion.
Thank you, Councillor Hughes. Councillor Ross.
Mr President, I wonder whether we might be best to suspend standing orders, because in the deputation earlier we had what I think might be two proposed amendments to this licence. So
you feel free to move.
So I move that we suspend standing orders so that we can discuss sure. what to do with those.
Sure. Councillor Ross's procedural motion to suspend standing orders. Councillors, I put that to the vote. A seconder, sorry. Councillor Angus is a seconder for... Thank you for catching me out then. I'll put that to the vote. Councillor. Move to suspend standing orders. Carried 7-0. Councillor Ross.
I wonder... I think what I'm after, Mr President, is for the two suggestions that were made earlier... whether we might have some comment perhaps from the CEO about kind of the suitability of amending the licence to accommodate those, or whether that might not be in our best interest.
So to be a bit more specific, the two items were...
one was about the who bears the cost of replacing right. or repairing damaged, particularly kitchen equipment. And the second point was whether some of those who hire the facility ought to be charged a bond in advance, a refundable bond to accommodate any damage that is done. So I'd be grateful to hear comment from the CEO.
I think generally a licence would have, and I can't recall specifically, so we would tend to look after the building and things like that. The clubs would be responsible for the appliances, but it could probably be whether incorporated into service level agreements or something like that, yes. some protections around hiring and who's then responsible if there's damage. Generally, so in this one, and it's a general thing that if there is damage, that the person hiring is meant to make good. So essentially, you would then go through the path where if there is damage... we'd be responsible, but we'd be seeking the compensation from the group that's hiring it. The bond, because it couldn't be in this document, because this document's between us and Polo Cross, but council, when they set the fees and charges for the hire of it, could include the bond into the fees and charges. And then that would be a normal thing to be done. And even the Space Deco allows two different ways of doing that, to either... charge the bond up front and have that, or to have like a credit card hold where it can then be charged should there be damage. And that their options is that as it depends on who the users are. So if it's a regular user, it might be that you just do the credit card hold, where if it's a new user, then you charge the bond so you've got the money up front.
So those specific fees about the ATU and the power, would that be listed in the service level agreement?
Well, we've removed, well, it's in there, if council passes this, it's to remove one of the sections that says that the Polo Cross would pay for the utilities. And so by removing that, then the onus becomes on the Shire.
I was just going to comment on the things in the kitchen, the oven or whatever that might get damaged. Would there not be some sort of insurance cover by the group? Their items there?
Could be the group. We've got insurance coverage, but for us, because buildings are such a big one, our excess is $1,000. So when you're talking about fridges and things, generally it's you just pay it. So I think having the bond in place through the fees and charges would mean that you can, the group that's hiring it, you can seek the compensation from them and then cover it that way.
What are the cost of the utilities? Being excluded
Polo Cross has said it's about $4,000 per year, but then part of that would also be our fire brigade, because they use electricity from the bore, which currently Polo Cross is paying. And then the other side of that is Polo Cross currently get fees from Pony Club and other hirers, which they will lose that and the Shire will pick up that. So I'm not sure of exactly how much you're getting, but I'm guessing it's probably start to convert to roughly the same amount. So it's probably, yeah.
4,500.
Yeah.
So from what you're saying, the agreement doesn't need amendment. It's more at an operational level that the points raised this evening can be accommodated.
Yeah, so I think okay. including it in the service level agreement and then having the necessary fees and charges okay. that council set for the hirers.
Okay. Mr. President, I move we resume standing orders.
Seconded. Councillor Hughes. Standing orders are resumed. Councillor Ross, you finished. All good? Thank you. Councillors, are there any further discussions on the officer's recommendation? All right, Councillor Hughes, you have the right of reply.
I don't believe I would need to exercise that in this case.
Thank you. All right, Councillor, there's no right of reply. I'll put the officer's recommendation to the vote. All those in favour? Carried 7-0. Thank you. Next item of business is CEO 05, Asset Management Plan. Councillors, you have a officer's recommendation in front of you to adopt the Shire Tudoring Road Asset Management Plan of 2022. Can I have a mover for this, please? I'll move it. Councillor Campbell. All right, I'm the mover. I'm going to move to suspend standing orders. I've got a couple of questions to ask. Can I have a seconder for that, please? Thank you. So suspended orders are suspended. Standard orders suspended. Councillor King is the mover. Councillor Campbell is the seconder. All those in favour? Carried 7-0. Thank you. The reason for suspending standing orders was just to ask a couple of questions, really, to be honest, is in relation to some of the statements of financial that are in that report. Let me just find where I put my information. So in under section 6.1.1, financial sustainability of service delivery under the short-term five-year financial plan, it states that the estimated budget operations, maintenance and capital renewal funding is $1.2 million per year, giving a five-year funding deficiency. I assume that's shortfall. Mm. We use shortfall there and we use deficiency there of $1.58 million per year. So my question to the CEO is, in the long-term financial plan, is that deficiency addressed such that there's not a deficiency, or there still is a deficiency in the long-term financial plan?
There'd still be a deficiency in the long-term financial plan, and I dare say there'd hardly be a shire around in the state that wouldn't have a deficiency.
Okay. All right, that was my question. And then the medium-term 10-year financial planning period is deficiencies that carries. I would suggest that there's a bit of editing on those two sections to be done to make the language consistent. And one's in negatives as a deficiency, and one's in brackets as a negative, and one's not in brackets. So they were really my questions around, particularly around, you know, how we meet our asset renewal programs in the future, in terms of having the funds to do that. And, you know, it's you know, when we're considering increasing rates for to cover CPI and to cover capital projects, we need to make considerations to squirreling money away each year to help try and have ourselves in a better financial position in the future to be able to renew our assets and not have to borrow to renew assets. Right, that was really what I wanted to discuss. If there's no discussion, I'll move to resume standing orders. Okay, seconded Councillor Campbell. All those in favour of resuming standing orders? Carried 7-0, thank you very much. I have no more to say. I am in the wrong one, sorry. Councillor Campbell.
I wouldn't need that.
Councillors?
Councillor Ross? I think just to commend the officers responsible for putting this together on the thoroughness of it, like, notwithstanding the fact that it's going to be very hard to pay for it all, there is detail there about kind of the process of prioritising an awfully long road network in our shire. Specific roads are named, sections of roads, etc. So I think I'm sure this will be a particularly helpful guiding document for those who plan the roadworks in the shire. So I think it's just a very useful piece of work for us to have.
Thank you, Councillor Ross. Councillor Hughes.
Just an observation that these plans used to be called asset management and renewal plans, which, you know, gave was quite clear in the title that that was, you know, with an eye on the future of building up those reserves to renew. Is there a reason why that's been taken out?
Of the title?
Yeah.
I'm not sure I've really... I know the integrated planning has them as asset management plans, so I'm not really sure of the difference, to be honest.
Oh, I just thought it was a bit more explanatory of the nature of the plan, but I was just curious to know if that was taken out for a reason.
Thank you, Councillor Hughes. Any further discussion? Right, a reply, yeah. So a lot of great work's been done in the asset management plan, and a lot of thought's gone into the prioritising and sequencing the works, and it's a credit to the team that have done that work. I think there's some very important statistics in there that I think should be more public, particularly the lengths of our roads, the kilometres of bitumen and non-bitumen. I don't think the community fully understands what the cost of maintaining and renewing those assets are, even though we have a deficit. But I think we should strive to pull out those key fundamental statistics and make sure that we at least put them out into the public so that they understand, you know, when they're looking at their rate bills, there's, you know, so many kilometres of road and it's bitumised and that we have to maintain all those roads. So thank you very much, Leo, for the good work that you did on that. And we'll only know in the future how good that work is. So thank you very much. All right, so there's no further discussion. I'll put the officer's recommendation to the vote. All those in favour? 7-0. Thank you. Carried 7-0. CO06, submission of proposed advocacy position on arrangements for management of volunteer bushfire brigades. Councillors, you have an officer's recommendation relating to the approval of the submission. Can I have a mover for this? Councillor Ross. Thank you. Seconder? Councillor Angus, I think. Councillor Ross.
Thanks, Mr. President. We've got so many rural shires in our state that are all struggling in one way or another to sort out how to manage the bushfire brigades, that coming to any sort of a common understanding about one size fits all is going to be a bit of a challenge. So when there is an effort by Walga, in this case, to collate the views of shires, I think it's really important that we do contribute input, and that's what this is about. And just to provide an update, last night Councillor Dewar and I attended the Bushfire Committee meeting, and this report, this submission, was on their agenda, and I was pleased to hear that the captains of our brigades have discussed this among themselves and are happy with this submission. So it's got the support of those who actually do the firefighting and manage our brigades. So it's good that we're participating by providing some input.
Thank you, Councillor Ross. Councillor Angus.
I have nothing to add to that.
Thank you, Councillor Angus. Councillors, any further discussion? Councillor Ross. Councillor Dewar? You're...
No.
No?
First time, thanks.
Nearly yeah, got yeah. you.
Councillor Ross, write a reply. Thank you. If there's no right of reply, councillors, I'll put the officer's recommendation to the vote. All those in favour? Carried 7-0. CEO 07, Bindoon Mountain Bike Park, Stage 1 Trial Construction Tender. Council, you have an officer's recommendation that the CEO run a tender process for the construction of Stage 1 of the trials for Bindoon Mountain Bike Park. May I have a mover for the officer's recommendation? Councillor Curtis. Seconder, please. Councillor Angus. Councillor Curtis.
Mr. President, yeah, I'll support the officer's recommendation. It's about time we got this thing going. I'm all supportive of it.
Thank you, Councillor Curtis. Councillor Angus.
Thank you. I know there are some members of our community who are not particularly excited about this, but I am really excited to see something happen there. As can be seen in the officer comment here, we've already got a Chittering Mountain Bike Club that has over 200 members, people who are very anxious to get up on the hill and have a look around at the beautiful views over Chittering. I can see a lot of potential there for the future, and I'll certainly be supporting the officer recommendation to start with stage one, and hopefully it will progress to something even bigger and better. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Angus. Councillor Ross.
Thanks, Mr. President. I think that one of the benefits of this project is that it can be done in stages, whereas some of the things we want to look at by way of infrastructure can't. So the fact that we've got stage one and we can isolate that and get on with it, I think, is very helpful to us, particularly by way of the management of the money that this involves. And I think... other than the fact that there's a whole bunch of people out there who like to ride bikes, what I think is commendable about the project as it's put together at the moment is that there are walking trails as well, because not everyone's a bike rider, and I cite myself as an example. So the fact that it's a multi-use facility, I think, is an advantage. And I think, too, in earlier times when this was first being proposed, it was part of the strategy of the Shire to avoid an economic collapse of Bindoon when the bypass is eventually built, and the only reason you might ever come here is to go to the bakery. So much as it's frustrating that the bypass continues to be delayed, it will be there one day. And if we can get this facility up and running before the bypass happens, then we've got a second reason, additional to the bakery, why people might come off the new highway and come into Bindoon. So I think there's a number of reasons why it's worth going ahead now and going out to tender.
Thank you, Councillor Ross. Councillors. I'll speak to it then. So can I move to suspend standing orders? Because I wish to have a discussion with Council on this. Can I have a seconder for my moving suspending? Moved Councillor King, seconded Councillor Dewar. All those in favour of suspending standing orders? I don't know, I can't do half a hand. Which one is it?
I can't decide.
Sore arm, Mary.
Yeah. Is it up or down?
It's up there.
All right, are we seven or six? Seven, are you?
I'm in.
All right. Okay, thank you. So the reason why I wanted to suspend standing orders is to seek, I guess, some further discussion with Council. Now, my position on the mountain bike has been pretty clear. I'm not entirely in favour of it, but I do see the value in going out to tender. I do see the value in also that the potential that the mountain bike park could bring. However, I just want to clarify that this is to go out to tender, and the approval or award of the tender is subject to a separate resolution of council. Is that correct?
Yep.
All right. Secondly, I just want to conclude that decision of council to approve to award the tender and proceed with the project, that obviously can't occur before the BBRF funding has been decided, because we've already gone down a path. We've already committed. We've said, previous council said that, you know, and have endorsed that that's the approach. So this can't replace the BBRF before the BBRF is decided, because then you run into a problem, potential problem. So there's nothing in this motion that, for my liking, specifically says the award of the contract would be subject to a new resolution.
And so only council has the power to accept a tender. So it would become an irrelevant point of the decision to have that, because no one else has the power to accept the tender. So you would just be stating what's in the Act. In terms of the BBRF, that's meant to be decided in August. I think by August we'll have found out whether it's going to even exist or not. Because the rumours certainly that it's probably going to get cancelled anyway. But then because decision can override any previous council decision anyway. So even if council will put in this decision to say it can't be awarded until the BBRF has been decided, a council decision to award it would override that decision. So the protection there is that council just don't make that decision until they know about the BBRF.
Yeah, for my view is that when we write very nondescript recommendations, we leave self open for interpretation. So if there's not sufficient detail in those resolutions, then it's left for people to interpret what it actually means. So I'm on the side of making sure that, you know, the resolutions are very specific.
Well, it is. It's just asking for a tender.
I know it's asking for tender, and I think going for the tender is good. At least we don't know what the cost is.
So that's all in the resolution, so that's all we need to vote on.
Correct.
Are you looking at perhaps an amendment that says for the avoidance of doubt?
Something like that. That's why I wanted to discuss it with council.
If it's in the Act, then we don't need it. But if it's about communicating to the community what the next step is, then you could just have an amendment that says, you know, for the avoidance of doubt, the successful tenderer will come back to council for approval, whatever the wording would be.
Mm. Yeah, that's right. So that's just probably my only concern on the officer's recommendation. It's left.
If you don't understand it, but you're making a recommendation to me. So my duty under the Act is to carry out council decisions. Mm. So the purpose of a council and a council meeting is to make decisions for me to carry out.
Sure.
It's not to make decisions for the good look of the community or anything like that. So you also need to be careful not to stuff a decision up. That then prevents me from doing my duties properly as well. But this, for me, that is all that's what I need. You're instructing me to run a tender process for a specific project.
The way I read this is that there's already an existing council decision, because it's in the budget for 2021-22, to do the trails component of it. So that's already been agreed to, which this is just the tender.
No, this one hasn't been agreed to.
That's what it says on page 45.
Yeah, so council has within the 2021-22 budget the mountain bike project. So the intent of that was to provide that it's already been funded. I didn't want to put in the actual agenda item what we expect the cost would be, because then all the tenderers would look at that, and even if they were going to tender less, they'd then bump the tender up to what we think the cost will be. But what we expect the cost will be is within what council has budgeted within the current budget.
No, certainly, certainly don't have an issue of going out to tender and getting the pricing, because we don't know what the pricing is at the moment. So this will serve that purpose. As I said, my only concern was
just the query about the BBRF in the tender documents. It's got a submission date of the 5th of August. So
yeah,
presumably before anything comes back to us, we will know the BBRF outcome.
Hopefully. Yeah, so the timeline for receiving this tender would be at earliest, it would be the August ordinary council meeting.
Yeah. No, it's all that in there. All right. Look, I understand its intent. I'm just not exactly comfortable with the minimalist officer's recommendation, in my view. But nevertheless. All right, I'll move to resume standing orders. That's all I wanted to discuss. Who's councillor? I moved.
Yeah, either myself or Carmel, whoever was first.
Councillor Ross. Second, all those in favour, resuming standing orders. Thank you, councillors, for the opportunity to have that discussion. I remain cautious and concerned. All right. Councillor, who hasn't spoken to the matter? Councillor Curtis was the mover. Councillor Angus was the seconder. Councillor Dewar, do you?
No, I've got nothing really to add to what's been said. Thank you.
All right. Councillor Curtis, you have right of reply.
Mr. President, just go for the tender and see what comes back as. And this has been on the cards for, I don't know, 20 years, I think, the trials and that. So that's about time. And it's been implemented. It's going to be a benefit to the community, I think, more so than a sports stadium, because it's always more people ride bikes and play football and things like that.
All right. Thank you, Councillor Curtis. If there's no further discussion, I'll put the officer's recommendation to the vote. All those in favour? 6-1. Item 10, reports of committees. Councillors requested to approve the officer's recommendation to formally cease the Chittering Health Advisory Group. Councillor, your detailed officer's recommendation is before you. May I have a mover?
There was an error there. It wasn't me. It was
Councillor King.
Sorry, I missed.
Sorry,
it was
just a blanket point.
Thank you.
All recorded.
Right, councillors, you have an officer's recommendation in front of you to formally cease the Tutoring Health Advisory Group. May I have a mover and a seconder, please? Councillor Ross is the mover. Councillor Angus is the seconder. Councillor Ross.
Thanks, Mr. President. We've got in our briefing notes, which of course are available to the community, the history of this group, and for a brief time I was one of the council reps on it, and I think we do need to take note of the fact that though it had some very good initiatives that it involved itself in more recent times, it hasn't worked. And I think the last thing that we need to do is to expect a group of people to keep meeting for no purpose, because most of the people in this group are volunteers, and they've got other things I'm sure that they could be doing. In fact, they're on it because they're busy people who do things like cancer support and whatever else they do. My thinking would be that there would be times when we might be better off with something like working parties on specific needs or initiatives that come up. So I think it really is a good recommendation that we close the group down, discontinue it, and certainly important that we thank and acknowledge the many people, particularly volunteers in our community, many of whom are named in the officer recommendation, who have contributed their expertise and their time to trying to get better provision of health support services in the Shire. Very happy to support this.
Thank you, Councillor Ross. Councillor Angus.
Yeah, Thank you, Councillor Ross. And definitely I agree that this group was started with very good intentions, has continued on for a few years with very limited outcomes, lots of time and effort put in by a lot of people, and yeah, it's run its course at the moment. There's no value to continue it.
Thank you, Councillor Angus. Councillors, any further debate? Councillor Ross, you have a right to reply. Councillors, if no further debate, I'll put the officer's recommendation to the vote. All those in favour? Carried 7-0, thank you. Item 11, motions for which previous notice has been given, nil. Item 12, question from members with notice. There are some. From me. I'll go through these one by one, and I'm happy for the CEO to take these on notice. So the first question is, can the Chief Executive Officer direct counsel to the decision of council, namely the resolution authorising the taking out of a loan in the amount of $1,878,251, otherwise known as Loan 89 in the accounts, from the WA Treasury Corporation for the Mouche Recreation Centre redevelopment?
So that'd be the budget resolution, but I'll get the specifics on what resolution that was.
Thank you very much. Number two is, can the Chief Executive Officer provide the project scope and the project capital costs? That was the basis for the authorising resolution, which will be disclosed later, and explain how loan 89 in the amount of 1.878251 was determined.
I'll take that on notice.
Number three, can the Chief Executive Officer advise the bank account where the proceeds from loan 89 received from WTC, that being the $1.8 million, is deposited? So that's one question.
Take it on notice.
What is the current bank account balance of loan 89?
Take it on notice.
What are the amounts of principal and interest separately, repayments to the period ending the 30th of June?
Take it on notice.
What, if any, interest was earned on loan 89 and what was the interest rate?
Take it on notice.
How have the interest repayments been funded?
Take it on notice.
How has the principal repayments been funded?
Take it on notice.
Thank you. Number four, what is the value of the Shire's current borrowings as of the 30th of June 22, including loan 89? I think that's a simple question, but that's
take it on notice.
Fine. Five, what is the Shire's current borrowing capacity for the new loans?
Take it on notice.
Let me finish. Additional to the existing loans based on the WATC interest rates, I just want to change this. Instead of 2.5, make that 3%. Yeah, I'll get you to add another one. Remove 2.5 and add 4% towards the end of that string of numbers. 4.5, sorry. I can't quite see that on the screen. 3.5. Okay. That's based on 40 semi-annual compounding repayments, so a 20-year loan. So that's that one. Also, what is the increase in revenue, percent and dollar, required for 2022 and 2023 to the annual borrowing costs, given the 2022 and 23, that should be, not 33. Thank you. Rate revenue increase of $240,942, CPI of 5.1%, and the additional borrowing costs for the workforce recommendations not covered in the CPI.
Take it on notice.
I think that B can be deleted. I think it's a legacy of editing. Number six, what are the costs, individual and total, of the Chief Executive Officer's 8 workforce recommendations listed in the report titled Shire Tutoring Workforce Plan Report and presented to Council at the 8th of June 22 Agenda Forum?
Take it on notice.
In fact, that's incorrect. The 8th of June, what do we call that, a workshop? It's a It wasn't the forum, it was the workshop before. Information session. So we should change that to information session. Right. Number seven, what is the increase compared to 21-22 in rate revenue in terms of dollars and percentage required for 22-23 to repay the annual borrowing costs for the Boulogne-Mouchet staging options given the 2022 and 2023? So it'd be 33. Rate revenue increase of $240,942, CPI 5.1%. And the additional cost for the workforce recommendation not covered in CPI. So that'll be made Mouchet stage one, stage two, 1 to 2, 1 to 3, and 1 to 4.
Taking on notice.
And I have just one more. Can the CEO please confirm the date of closing tenders for the Mouchet redevelopment? I just don't know where that is.
Taking on notice.
All right, that's my questions. Councillors, are there any further questions? Councillor, there's no further questions. I will move on. Item 13, new business of urgent nature introduced by decision of the meeting. There are nil, I hope, others. Nil, thank you. Item 14, meeting closed to the public. Minister, which Councillor has a resolution in front of you to go behind closed doors to receive confidential session to discuss the following items, which is CON01, approval for award of tender SC2201 fire mitigation tenements. Councillor, may I have a mover to go behind closed doors for the confidential item? Councillor Campbell, seconder. I have a Councillor King. Ross. Sorry. Sorry, sir.
Councillor Ross, second.
Councillors, put that to the vote. All those in favour going behind closed doors? Carried, 7-0, thank you.